What is your relationship to creativity? How do you define wellness? Today's guest, Catherine Willows, believes that creativity is our birthright and part of our total wellness picture. She shares how many of us have lost that spark, and we dive into many ways we can come back to our center and our home within. Catherine exquisitely combines her training in Western medicine with her passions for herbalism, shamanism, and energy work. Her unique perspective shed light on what is possible for us at any age. We'll see you in the episode.
Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation.
Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. And today I'm sitting down with Catherine Willows. Catherine, I believe you came through me from Alicia Isaac's house. So happy to meet you a few weeks ago when we first talked and got to know each other. But I'll say a little bit about you and then we'll just jump in. Catherine is a registered nurse, entrepreneur, and founder of Willows Coaching and Consulting. The way I see it, you've got many areas of specialty, including being a functional medicine health coach, creativity coach, an herbalist, energy healer, and an artist. So I know, Catherine, you know, you find yourself at this point in time having woven together a lot of just different areas of studies and interest and following the road of what was next to open up that big, wide open path. So I want to first and foremost welcome you here and say hello.
Hello. It is such a pleasure to be here with you today, Maureen. And thank you so much for the opportunity to meet with you and your global population here, all the women that come to hear you and be inspired by you. So again, this is an honor. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And I love it because it's bringing forth so many voices and each one having their particular resonance and what they are here to share and the wisdom. And I believe it's a bridge or portal to opening up that wisdom and intelligence in each and every one of us. How do you feel about that?
I so agree with you. And I feel like in these times, especially, that connection, that portal, that opening is so, so needed. I find so many women who feel so disconnected and stuck and not sure which way to go right now, and really almost intimidated in some ways by everything that's happening in the world, and particularly even some of the viewpoints, the archaic viewpoints that are coming back into view around women and everything. So for women to have a space where authenticity, really connecting with who we are and what we bring to the world, I think is so, so vital, so needed. Yeah.
So vital. And, you know, we hear the word authenticity often, and yet it's so true that that is what we're coming back to within us. And it is so very possible that this happened for each of us. And often we see things in headlines or we see a word like that over and over. But I think that you shared with me about having your own journey of healing and transformation. And I believe that when you go through that, then you learn, oh, this is what it feels like. So I don't know if you'd be willing to share some of your own story of how you find yourself where you are today, whatever comes to your mind or you think is important about it.
You know, Maureen, my path has taken so many twists and turns. And, you know, starting off as a nurse, very young at the age of 20, it carried me in so many different directions. And I started my career largely by working on inpatient psych units at Northwestern in Chicago way back when. And oh my God, I learned so much about who we are and what goes awry and what we really need to be supported so that we can really come forward in our unique selves instead of having that so squashed. But the path has taken many, many different turns. I worked in hospice for a long while with both inpatient and outpatient during the AIDS epidemic. I spent time working in the whole women's center and birthing community, working as a lactation consultant and helping new mothers really adjust to having babies and what that means and how to really embrace that in a way that lowers the stress and helps them really bond and become the mothers that they want to be. And from there, got involved with programs in the Chicago area around obesity prevention, working with the American Academy of Pediatrics, got into functional medicine along the way. I was doing integrative and all of this holistic stuff because I could see the limitations in conventional medicine. And I knew that there was more that needed to come to the forefront. So, learning herbal medicine, learning energy work, learning flower essences, and understanding how energy flows. I've had a longstanding interest in art. And at this point in time, it's just all interweaving into this whole new form.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. To really help people come into, we talked about authenticity, but oftentimes we get so caught up in external and that external world and their messages and the comparison and the I'm not good enough and feeling separate that we don't always remember to embrace our uniqueness or even what that looks like at some point.
Beautiful message. Yes, I'm having so many thoughts go through my mind, and it's remarkable to me that you had so many different paths of the road of when you were a nurse. And it also is dawning on me that nursing is a very special profession. I don't know if it's one. I know when someone has a loved one hospitalized or being taken care of, I'll often hear, and it's been my experience too, that it was the nurses who were the angels. Is there anything that you have to say about the population or being called into that, even yourself as a young woman? What drew you there?
Oh, geez, that started, I think, way young. Even while I was in high school, I started working in a nursing home as a nurse's aide. And I just felt like there was a need for compassion there and
yes.
understand, and that's what brought me there. Nursing for me has been a really mixed experience because on one hand, it's given me the gift, and it's been a huge gift of working with so many people in so many different environments, so many different environments with different focuses and different needs, right? And then at the same time, I mean, I think of some of the people that I've worked with over the years and just how much they touched my heart through who they were and how they expressed what they needed and how much I learned from them and their wisdom and their paths and just everything that they had been through. And yet, the conventional medicine, while I totally respect so much of it in terms of what it has to offer, is also a really tough environment. And nurses are hard on each other. And the medical community as a whole, I think, it's structured like a military framework of sorts, right? It's very hierarchical and it can be really intense and really hard to work within as well. So there were aspects of it that, some of my best friends in the world came out of those years. And then there were aspects of it that were really tough as
yeah,
well.
It sounds like it can be a system that can lead to a bit of burnout. And I could see that my younger sister is a nurse and, through COVID, everything was really intense and strenuous and wow, even to make it through a day with all the masks and gowns and all the regulations, and by the end of it, she shifted off the floor so she could have an environment that I think was, in a sense, more relaxing for her nervous system. And so there seems to be a lot of that. So yeah, you had all these different hats within the nursing world. You're cultivating relationships, you're learning more about yourself, and you're kind of following the path, but pulling in the herbalism and the, you said, the flower essences and all these beautiful different modalities. How do you understand that about yourself? Sometimes I think like, wow, are we remembering this from another lifetime? Or was I this beautiful shaman who, right? Do you ever feel that way?
I felt like it was happening on both ends. It was like, yes, past lives, absolutely. It felt so natural and so easy to just move into for me. And it felt so much like the right place to be. And yet at the same time, because of even back then, the beginnings of holistic and, you know, complementary medicine and all of that, I felt like my sights were on the horizon. Like, you yes. know, we need to bring this forward. We need to move away from just treating diseases and really start looking at people as people and the wholeness that they have and not just a diagnosis, and find some other ways that really support them. And one of the things that I did when I was working for a home hospice organization in the Chicago area, and I helped them develop a complementary and alternative medicine program. And what we did is for hospice patients, we actually created, it was a beautiful program. It's a program in which we offered energy work and massage and various modalities to these people, and, you know, essential oils and flower essences and herbs and different things, so that they had a more easeful experience during those hospice weeks or months or whatever they were for them. And we found that people that received those modalities required less pain medication.
Wow.
And had more comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And reported more comfort during those times. So it, you know, just being able to bring some of that forward into healthcare. Same thing happened when I worked with the American Academy of Pediatrics, and we were working on the Obesity Prevention Initiatives, which was a program under the Obama administration. Large cities across the country received funding for that. And I worked with the hospitals all across Cook County and the Chicagoland area around upgrading breastfeeding practices and really the maternity centers in terms of really changing how we do things when babies are born and getting, you know, babies skin to skin with their mothers and all of these practices, right? So there were opportunities, I guess is what I'm saying, where I could take what we had and tried to bring in the new, and we did bring in the new in many instances to really change the face of the practices of the times.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'm just observing, because I know that now in your evolution of a practitioner is that you love working with women on creativity. And I'm using that as a segue right now, and there's probably lots and lots of things to say, but because in what you're describing, you were tapping into your own creativity to create programs that hadn't existed before, that were, you know, they were based on needs, but they were, it feels like you were really tapping into your own creator nature. And I'm wondering, have you historically thought of yourself as a creative? Has that relationship changed? And do you see that in yourself?
You know, it's very interesting that you say that, Maureen, because I think at the time when I was involved with these programs, I didn't necessarily acknowledge the creativity piece as much. And looking at it in retrospect, it was like, oh, yeah, when you say that, it was like, oh yeah, that was certainly part of the picture there, right? Is that vision and those ideas where things could be different and tapping into that creative force, if you will, to try to bring something new.
Yes.
And you know, art and creativity have been with me from way back when. I mean, even when I was a kid in school, I loved all of it. But and the first thing I did when I got out of nursing school was I went out and I bought a camera and I took and I signed up for photography and art classes. So there's always been this desire there, right? There's always been this passion for it as well. So it's kind of been this sidekick thing
That's cool.
That I've had. And then when my daughter came along, she was my creative project. Like having children and raising them, and you know, but we did art, and I, you know, would create all kinds of experiences for her at the same time. I would say that a lot of people don't think of creativity from that perspective, and it's really funny because in working with women now, you know, there are so many people that say to me, "Oh, I'm not creative," or I haven't done anything, you know, any art, or I haven't been done any of that since I was in grade school or whatever. And it's incredible to me because innately we all come from a creative source. We are earth beings. We are here to create. If you look at nature, nature's always creating around us, right? And so creativity is not available to anyone. Yeah.
That's a really important point, because we're conditioned as young people to say these people are creative and these people aren't. And I feel like in our society, I'm just going to put a number on it. It's like 20% are, 80% aren't, or something like that, because we say that it's only painting, it's only photography. I want to remark too that you picking up a camera, I think photography is interesting because it's like you see, there's a willingness to see the world in a different way through a different lens. This, yeah. Even the mean, you know, it just, that just dawned on me, but I certainly fell in the 80% camp, never felt creative, never was able to nurture that because it was squashed when I was little. And by doing the podcast, I realized like, you're creating all the time. What are you talking about? And so those voices that were always, because I think naturally, when we say something like, I'm not a creator, we're comparing ourselves to another. Can you talk about that? Like how we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when we're saying that we're not creative, a lot of it comes from, as you mentioned, a lot of it comes from past conditioning and this whole idea that to be creative, you've got to have the talent or the skills to be able to make art to look at a certain level, right? And then that becomes equated with being creative, whether it's music or it's painting or whatever it is, right? And then we just dismiss and say, oh, that's not me. It's not about that. Creativity is that generative force within us to come up with ideas and new solutions. And quite frankly, we create every day of our lives. We problem solve, we come up with different ways of doing things. If there's a traffic jam, we find another route. You know, if we have a kid that's got a problem, we try to find solutions. We make beautiful meals, we garden, we do things all the time that are creative. And certainly your podcast is your creative medium. It's that's your baby, right?
Yes.
At least at this stage, right?
And it's making me think, like I had just gotten off the phone with one of my sisters and we were talking about astrology, and in it, I was sharing with her a reading I had done last year, and the woman said like, oh, your very words are important to you. And so that's an interesting intersection of, because I know you have a lot of intersectionality in your work, but like how something like that can actually be like, oh, maybe that's a clue to the type of creator I am. And yeah. I don't write books. I speak it, but it is coming forth. So when we think about that creativity, how do you think of it in terms of our being, where do we create from? Is it within us? Is it from a source or universal resource? Like, how do you think of that?
That's a great question. And I think that there are a lot of layers to this. So if we think about the creative force as a whole, you know, nowadays we can talk openly about quantum physics and frequency and have some understanding of these energies, I think, that we haven't been able to talk about in the past. So if you think of creativity as sort of part of that life force energy that's generative, that's always happening, you know, through the seasons, it has its cycles, it's always there, it runs through us, it's part of, you know, being embodied as a human being, right? But at the same time, that frequency, we can either tune, like any frequency, we can tune into it, or we can kind of tune out of it to some degree. And some of us really are shut down with it. And what I find is that when people are shut off from their creativity or feeling like they're shut off, they're often stuck. They're stuck in their health. They're stuck in their lives in some capacity. They feel disconnected. And that disconnected, that separateness is where that comparison comes in. So if you feel more connected with the world, there's less of that part of the whole, right? You know, and nature is a great reflection of that, because the one tree is not comparing itself to the other tree. You know, it's right. It's nature reminds us of the wholeness of life. And it brings us back to that connection. So kind of coming back to your question that, you know, when you start opening to that creative frequency and start inviting that creative frequency, it's very fascinating where people go with that. And I love watching people explore that. It is so fun. It is so, fun
yes.
to see people
yes.
discover that.
And right? Do you feel, or how do you feel about the reclamation of our childlike wonder and awe? I mean, is that a piece of it, that the pieces that we lost that maybe were meant to stay with us forever?
What I think happens is that we get very left brain focused, right? We get very left brain focused in our world. Our conditioning is that, to think linearly, to be organized, to all of our to-do lists. And so we're very heavily left brain oriented. And that playfulness, that innocence, that curiosity, that capacity to explore lives more in the right brain area, right? And so that gets kind of shut off. And that's where our brain coherence is really, our balance is out of whack. And the left brain stuff is very masculine. We live in a masculine world. We live largely in a masculine template. We've been raised in that. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need that. But we don't have enough of the feminine, of that flow state, that intuitive state, that capacity to really access, because it hasn't been valued to the same degree. And if you think of intuition, for example, you know, intuition has really taken a bad rap over the years, right? Like, intuition, yeah, right. You know, it's not, that's not valid. That's not real.
No science. What are you talking about?
Right? You know, so being able to embrace more of that childlike energy.
Absolutely.
Allows for some of that too. So I want to just kind of circle back to something that you said, and that is, we were talking about sort of the greater creative frequency and tapping into that, but we all have our own unique frequency too. Like, you know, you as Maureen, you have the Maureen frequency, and I have the Catherine Willows frequency, and everybody has their own frequency, which is what makes us all unique.
And I love that. I just love that so much. Like, how is this not taught when we're in second grade? I just, it is so empowering.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what you bring as your creative frequency, as your frequency through which creativity expresses itself, is this beautiful podcast that you celebrate with the world, along with your wordsmithing and all of the other things that you do. So likewise, I bring the creativity frequency through me as it expresses in the people that I touch and the things that I do. And that's what we're here for. That's
absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that I love, and I've been saying this a lot recently, is that I have sat here with so many individuals and hearing, I get to hear like their frequency. What is it? What are they bringing forth? What are they so interested in? And when you, I was going to say like the intuition piece that was always put to the side, when you get a group of people in a room and they start to talk about synchronicities, about when they followed their gut, well, you know, all the things, it's like, it's right there. It's all right there, that it's true. It's real. It's guiding you. It's for you.
Absolutely. It is. It's our deeper wisdom. And when we allow for that to come through, we're allowing, you know, source to come through. We're allowing the goddess to speak through us.
I love that. Yeah. When I first started, I think reading books about the universe or consciousness or all the things, I would run across the word birthright. And I'd say, probably Alicia would say it to me because we were moms together when our boys were in grade school. And I'd be like, birthright, what the heck's that? And it's so funny because in the Jewish world, my husband's Jewish, is like a birthright trip to Israel is something that is given to you if you choose to sign up for it. So right there, what a beautiful word. But birthrights, I was like, what's a birthright? And I feel like from what I know now, the creativity is a birthright. I want you to talk about birthrights though. I feel like abundance and manifestation are birthrights. So would you talk about that a little bit? Because I think it's a word that's it's been around, but it's also newer.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that when you're really talking about birthright, you're speaking to something that is innately part of who you are and what you are intended to bring forward into the world, that comes with your soul mission, that comes with who you are and the beauty of what that is supposed to be. And when we cut ourselves off from that, we not only cut ourselves off from the full expression and the full potential of what we bring, but we also prevent it from coming into the world as well. And that's a loss. It's a loss on both ends.
Would you even say that it's part of our, I don't know if you'd call it a soul contract, to express our creativity in a way? Because if you believe in multiple lifetimes, but if we don't tap into those birthrights and express those birthrights in this lifetime, we maybe we'll come back and do it again. And there's no right or wrong, or that's just what's coming to mind.
Exactly. And that's exact. I agree with that perspective. If we don't do it this time, then we do it another time. And if you can consider really sort of, again, leaping into, you know, the quantum perspective of these infinite possibilities, these infinite potentials, but yet we've come here for a specific purpose. And I think we're in a very important in terms of kind of the crossroads that we're in our world right now, that really bringing forward more of our birthrights, bringing forward more of our essence into the world and the things that we're here to really do to support this transition, this transformation that we're in the midst of is so essential. This is part of what really ignites me around my work right now, because I feel like up until this time, women in their like perimenopause through, you know, postmenopausal era, that women have really been silenced or feel that they
yes
silenced or whatever. And this is really intended to be a very creative time in a woman's life. You know, we honor the mothering stage and being young and doing so many things and raising our families, or if we don't have children, the projects that we do and everything that we bring into the world. But when women get into the menopausal era, we kind of start to, a lot of women are they look at their motherhood phase and say, it's done, I don't know now. They kind of get feeling sort of washed out, or they're not maybe feeling as well physically, but this is the wise woman phase. This is right. This is the time when their leadership, all the gifts, their life experience, the things that they know, their creativity is really so needed. And I think really right now we need that. We need older women to step in and bring it with us.
I so agree with that. That's really been coming to me lately about just that mentorship, the guidance for whoever it is, whether it's the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds. And it's so understandable that like our generation was, we saw women put themselves to the side a lot. And maybe after motherhood, not knowing what was next or going along with what their husband was doing or more traditional ways of being. And now this whole arena is opening up. And are you feeling too that your unique expression, I think this is what you're saying, it's needed in the world. We need the innovation, the expression, the new ideas. And why not this mid-generation, right? 40 to 60 and buffer side, 70, you know, 80, everything.
Mm-hmm. Like, totally. I feel like we're missing a really huge resource by stepping away at this stage in life. And yes, I love the energy and the new ideas and the spark that women in their 20s and 30s bring. You know, they've got all new ideas, which is absolutely fantastic. And we need that new life force as well. But damn, we need the wisdom. We need the creativity of the older women that have been down the pathway, and they see things through life experience and can offer a lot to help us help the young and everyone.
And one another. Yeah. You know, there used to be that idea of like, oh, it's for her or she's doing it or that, and it's not for me. That's coming to mind, I think. And because you mentioned the word, like in terms of a few words that were important to you or concepts, and you said equanimity. And I don't know if you feel like we touched on that with regard to talking about not the competition, but more the collaboration as women, but is equanimity or sovereignty important to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I've got a program that I'm offering here in the coming months that really kind of taps into that more. But I think that equanimity is and sovereignty are, they go together. They're really important concepts. And when we can come from a place where, again, I'm going to go back to this, but so many women are disconnected, stuck, and distracted, and certainly screens and everything allows us to get really distracted from life. But when those three components are happening, we lose touch with our equanimity, we lose touch with our sovereignty, we lose touch with our purpose. And so inviting creativity back in, and I'm using that in a very broad sense right now in terms of that word, but really starting to tap back into, where do I find my balance? How do I find my calm outside of the fear and the anxiety? And what ignites my sovereignty to claim that once again for who I am and what I stand for here?
Yeah, it's so essential. Mm-hmm. I think that I recorded an episode. I don't do as many solos as I do interviews. And I recorded one after the first of the year, like mid-January or so. And it was really about making sure that you're like the first and foremost tending to yourself, staying in that sovereignty, caring for yourself, knowing that self-care is like that going within, understanding yourself. Like that is so important right now, because if we're living in a world with a threat of that being taken away, we have to cultivate it, keep it, honor it, just cradle it and shelter it. What about, this is just a question that I think about. Have you been thinking about AI and its role in society? And it's because when I tend to think of it, I tend to think of it with relation to our creatorship. And it's because I think that I've realized more and more in the last year or two, like that to be in the creative flow. I think you like that word flow a lot too. It's like, but I know that I was thinking, gosh, is that taking my creativity away? I heard a counterpoint to that the other day I thought was valuable, in that actually AI is neutral. And it is, if we feed it with the good, if we feed it with the light and abundance and love and all the things, then that's what it will do. If something else goes into this artificial intelligence, it will create something else. But it was good for me to see, because I was kind of like, I don't like this because it's threatening my creativity, but that's not necessarily true. But any thoughts on that?
I totally agree with your perspective. And initially I'm a bit intimidated. I'm not so sure about this. And what I have also learned is very akin to what you're saying, Maureen, and that is it is neutral. And it really is what we feed it. It really is what we put into it, which isn't that just such a mirror of life?
Like it's just like anything.
Right. Is what comes forward then, right? So AI is just one of those examples of a vehicle that we can utilize. We can choose to as to how we utilize it. And I like using it creatively. I like throwing ideas into it and having conversations with it and bouncing ideas around with it as I'm creating programs and getting ideas about what I'm doing. And, you know, I like what it comes up with, and then it generates ideas in me, and then I bounce it back with it, and it becomes this positive thing.
If I just take a look at myself and the and that's why conversations are so good because then you get to be like, okay, I always think if you have the willingness to look at yourself with compassion and it's like, okay, that's just a question I have or a conflict I'm experiencing. But, you know, a spiritual teacher might say, well, Maureen, anytime you're casting out fear or separation from something, it is a mirror to your wholeness with, or like your separation within. And I was going to say earlier when you were talking about wholeness, that's the way I kind of go through the world right now is like very interested in healing the separation within and getting back to wholeness and just, and I think when you go down this path, and I'm sure your work with women is so valuable because when you begin to escort someone down the path and you're doing discovery and you're having fun and it's joy, like all the things, right? And it's helping us remember. It's helping us remember that we're just beautiful creator beings. We're so full of life and connected to source and all of it. So thank you for the work. It's so beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. And likewise, I mean, you're sharing so much here that helps people remember as well and really inspires people to think about things that maybe they haven't really thought about or thought about it in the way that you're inviting them to.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I know. And so what's there, you were saying, you just mentioned having one program, but tell us about those more, just, you know, to have an idea of what you're putting out into the world. I can see like doing it with friends or being in a group of women doing, you know, exploring. It sounds like fun.
Yeah. You know, I work in so many different ways right now. I work individually with people around coaching and inevitably we get to this place because people come to me still. I'm a functional medicine health coach. So a lot of people come to me for health issues initially. That's sort of the doorway through which many people enter. And then we get into working with talking about health issues and inevitably we get into what's underneath that. What's underlying the fact that you're having these problems. And then we can start working with the energies around that. But in terms of the creativity groups, they're so much fun because I've invited people through my health coaching groups to come play with me, to come paint with me, to experience some of these, it really kind of the joy and the play. And so we were talking a little while ago about, you know, kids and their innocence and their curiosity. We were talking about nature and how that invites that cracks the heart open and invites the beauty and reminds us of our wholeness. And then you get a group of women together and you invite them to paint. And maybe some of them haven't painted in decades, right? And I do so safely. I try to do so within a way that doesn't feel intimidating or comparison. That's the old model. Right. So I'm bringing forward a paradigm here that is about art as a language from the soul, the imagery, the colors, that's the soul speaking. And maybe sometimes it has words, but oftentimes it doesn't. It takes us to another level beyond words that comes through. And so play is a part of that. And when you can start to just allow, you can start to hear yourself. Yeah. Again, outside of like trying to figure it out, right? All the things, the to-dos, and come over here. And so, for example, in terms of a process, like for somebody that maybe is brand new at this, I might invite them to maybe consider in the background something that they'd like a little bit more information around, or maybe it's just about inviting to play or to experience, to see what flow feels like. And so I like working either in acrylics or watercolor, but just take a blank sheet of paper or a canvas and see what colors you're attracted to.
Yeah. Yeah. What draws you in? What wants to be expressed? I love that.
Exactly. And what colors? I mean, just to notice like, oh, boy, that magenta is really calling me and the purples and the yellows, right? And just start to play.
Yes. I love that. Right? So fun. Such it's flow been, from the heart. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And see what comes through. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun because at the end of an experience like this, and sometimes people will start off with, it'll just be like kind of blurry, but eventually maybe an image comes through, or a symbol comes through, or an animal comes through. So what does it have to say?
It's important, right? It's not random. It's not by accident. It's symbolic in some way. It has something to say.
Exactly. And so I invite people to do journaling around it as well, to really kind of allow their work to speak to them, to see what's coming forward. You know, people find that they can't be anxious, they can't be worried, and all of the fear and all of that, just it's gone, because you can't hold that in the brain at the same time you're being creative. Doesn't work.
No, and then it becomes a new experience. And what I was thinking about when you were sharing earlier is, if we were largely trained, especially here in the US, and in our left brain, and our right brain's not as cultivated, then it is a rewiring. It's a relearning. It's a re-knowing.
Yeah, there's some really intriguing research that's going on out at Johns Hopkins Medical Center. They've got a program called the Neuro Arts Program, and it's been around for a while, but they're really looking at this rewiring, if you will, and the balancing of the right and left hemispheres of the brain. So part of being able to engage in this flow is that it's healing. It's actually healing, in that they find that even 20 minutes a day of, and I mean, you don't have to do it every day, but the 20 minutes of doing artwork actually helps to restore not only balance, but it helps with mental, you know, worries and concerns. It also affects the physical body. It lowers the cortisol levels and all of that, right?
It's so important right now, as it's very fascinating that we seem to be coming into a time where the ancient practices and wisdom are so needed. Like, is it any coincidence that with the rise of technology, the rise of disconnection amongst youth and adults, that then there's this wave and resurgence of people talking more about Reiki and acupuncture and art therapy? And, you know, I'm thinking, as you talk too, I saw over the holidays that movie Sing Sing, which is based, did you see that? It's the prison system in upstate New York, but it focuses on a program that was actually a real program called Rehabilitation Through the Arts. And it's how someone brought into that prison system a drama program and allowed these men to come forward and express themselves in an artistic way, in a creative way, and how healing it was for them. And I know here in Illinois, a good friend of mine is involved with a woman who does similar programming here. So how transformative art and creativity and expression can be. So I'm really thankful that you're here talking about this. And if someone is at the beginning of your journey or their journey, I think that there's a lot of information here for them today for that beginning, and to look up your website and where to find you. You can share that right now. And then I want to ask you a question before we leave.
Yes, whether it's the beginning of the journey or they're well into the journey, you know, there are a lot of ways in which we can go with this. So I, you know, we kind of just talked about the beginning stages here, but it's really quite wide open there in terms of the direction that this can go in so many ways. But okay. Yes, people can find me at Willows Coaching and Consulting, which is willowscc.com. And certainly please reach out to me if you've got any questions. You will find an events page that will list out my upcoming events. I work largely virtually just because I've got people all over the country and actually in other parts of the world as well. So I do offer programs that way. I also offer programs in person too. So yeah.
Oh, good. I'm very excited that you just stumbled on this. I was thinking, and I'll end with that you're an alchemist and that you combine everything you've done to create this beautiful work. And I always ask at the end now, if, as we settle into our heart space, Catherine, is there anything that comes to you that you feel has been left unsaid, or maybe wants to be said again or in a different way that the listener might really be in need of hearing?
I just feel so deeply that this is a very, very unique time in history, and there's a call for creativity to come forward now. We need the innovation, the enlivening, the embodiment of all that it has to offer us in its gifts, and we need each and every one to be able to embrace that so that they can bring all of who each of you are and your essence, your frequency to the world. So yes. I invite you not only for the sake of the world, but also for the sake of your own self, your joy and your freedom that lies within there.
I love that. Thank you, Catherine. I've been thinking recently, it just dawned on me for the first time. It's like, I've been asking that question for quite a few episodes now, and it's like so much gold in just that, because it wraps it up sometimes. It's like these beautiful sound bites. So thank you for being here. Thank you for the listener for being here. As always, share the episode widely if you think, you know, friends, family would love to hear it, because that's how the podcast grows. That's how Catherine's work gets out into the world. And so thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my 1-on-1 coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.